is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays losing the rubber match to the White Sox 5-2 the final tonight at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago. That's now back-to-back series losses for the Blue Jays as they now get set to take on the Boston Red Sox for the first of four beginning tomorrow evening at Fenway Park. We'll have that game for you, of course, here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It is Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. As always, you can text us 59590. Give us your name and your location. That is where you can reach us on the text line. You can hit us up on Twitter at WongSHead590, at JGoldberg12. The Blue Jays giving up three earned runs in the bottom of the first as Hyunjin Ryu gets knocked around. He would settle down, though, throwing five straight scoreless innings after that, but that's all the White Sox would need offensively as they added some insurance runs in the seventh and eighth against Anthony Castro and Joel Piamps, respectively. The Blue Jays getting RBIs from Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Marcus Semien, but far from enough as Dallas Keuchel, the veteran lefty Josh, throws six quality innings, striking out eight. Not exactly known for his strikeout artistry, but tonight was very effective, moving his pitches on the inside, on the outside, mixing speeds, getting ground balls. Looked like the guy that won the Cy Young a few years ago with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, he was excellent, and it was really jarring to see a pitcher who has struck out less than five batters per nine innings pitch this year, you know, carve them up. You're right, both sides of the plate, changing speeds, all of that, and it just seemed like the Jays were totally out of whack and out of sorts and not confident and just not picking him up well. They figured it out a little bit as the game went on and deeper into the outing, but it just seems like whether it's this iteration of the Blue Jays or the last relevant Blue Jays team, especially in 2016, these softer throwing lefties with command who control both sides of the plate and don't have overpowering stuff, especially for a predominantly right-handed hitting lineup like this one, just seems to give them a lot of trouble. And I'm curious when we get a chance to talk to Kevin, what his thoughts are on it, because it's a puzzler to me.
It definitely is. We'll do that coming up in a moment here. But before we do that, who is your player of the game?
I'm going to go with Dallas Keuchel. The expectations weren't high for me because he has an ERA or had an ERA coming into tonight in six starts at home of 4.81, but he was excellent. All the stuff we're talking about, he just kept the Jays completely off balance all night, and he was really good, and I'm quite surprised that he was able to miss as many bats as he did. Eight strikeouts in six innings, quality start, good stuff for the White Sox from Dallas Keuchel.
I'll go with Yasmani Grandal, who had the two-run homer in the first inning off Hyunjin Ryu, one of the weirdest slash lines you're ever going to see when it comes to Yasmani Grandal. He's batting 160 on the season, but he's got an on-base over 400. He's got an OPS of 829. He's a quality catcher behind the dish and is starting to swing it a little bit of late as well. And tonight had a big two-run homer to help lift the White Sox past the Blue Jays 5-2. It's Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Please be joined now by Kevin Barker. And Kevin, let's begin with Josh's question where, you know, he was talking about these lefties, these crafty lefties that the Blue Jays seemingly have trouble with, whether it's this version, recent versions. What do you think it is that maybe ties that all together as to why some of these guys like Dallas Keuchel give the Blue Jays fits?
Well, I think it's accumulation of a couple of things. It's something they don't see a ton of. You know, it's the error, the hard thrower. It's max effort. It's give you all you got as quick as you got it. Dallas Keuchel, when you run into a guy who can manipulate the baseball and throw a little bit in off the plate, throw a little bit away off the plate, change speeds. You know, he threw the backdoor cutter some. He threw the changeup mostly down. He had that little cutter that he would go in off the plate. And you got a bunch of guys like, you know, Bo Bichette and Teoscar Hernandez and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Riley Adams, who are, you know, doesn't have the greatest approaches at the plate. They overswing a little bit too much. And a guy that's experienced that sees a, you know, a team that he really doesn't have to throw a strike to get a bunch of outs. And, you know, he got on a little bit of a roll. He's getting ahead with pitches that aren't strikes. And that was the little bit of a puzzling thing. He wasn't surprising anybody. Like the first time through the order, he threw exactly the way he was when he was the third time through the order. It was no different, right? He would occasionally start him off with a cutter in off the plate. He would occasionally start him off with the changeup down and away. But most of the time, they weren't strikes. And for a team that prides themselves on making adjustments and making them quickly, it was just a little odd that you saw the same over-swinging, chasing over and over and over again at bats. And you know, I guess you learn from it. Hopefully you don't run into too many guys like this that can attack your weaknesses like Dallas Keuchel did. It's, you know, it's one of those games where they just didn't put it all together. It's Jeff Blair told me today on Baseball Central that you got to be careful when you're getting all excited about how the bullpen does one day because they can come back the next day and give it up. And that's sort of what you're seeing, right? The Anthony Castros, Joel Piamps. You get excited, right? You see in Anthony Castro yesterday throwing 98 miles an hour with the little Bugs Bunny slider. Comes back today, throws a fastball down the middle to a guy who probably shouldn't have to throw a fastball down the middle to. It's those quality pitches that you have to throw late in games to keep your team in it. And then you face Liam Hendricks, who acted like it was the seventh game of the World Series that he just walked off with a three-run lead. So it's just these games that Buck talked about it, right? This is a young team that needs to figure out how to win these games. Is it they just don't have enough horses to compete against the better teams in the American League, or is it they're just not making that play? Like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in the first inning, you got to make that. It's the big leagues. Like run back there, run a better route to a baseball, turn around and look up and catch the baseball. It's baseball 101 kind of things, and that's sort of what beats the Blue Jays all the time. It's that one little odd play that they should be making that they don't, and they end up losing games.
So Ryu didn't have a good first inning and then was really sharp the rest of the way. I guess, what did you make of his bounce back after that tough first inning and the job that Riley Adams did in terms of that's quite a kitchen sink assignment with Ryu throwing and shaking off signs. What did you make of the job he did calling the game today?
Yeah, you know, I think he did a decent job. You know, I was with Buck. Buck was saying it's not the hard. He's not the hardest guy to catch. You know, Ryu's one of those guys that knows what he wants to do. It's mainly you're trying to keep him in a flow. As long as he's not shaking off every single time you're putting the finger down, which he didn't. Occasionally, he wanted to go to a certain pitch, like he would not want to go back to back on a changeup. He wanted to go change up and cutter in, and he would shake to that, and Riley would give him three or four fingers in a row. That was one of those times where it broke up the rhythm that he was trying to get into, but he's a veteran guy, right? Riley Adams did a decent job behind the plate with just trying to keep him in enough flow to get him through enough quality innings to give him a chance to win. But, you know, it was sort of like his last start. The fastball command in, the cutter in wasn't really there. But what I do like is he didn't go away from that. He still threw it. He still showed it to him. His misses on the fastball in because he knows he's not locating it on the black. He has to do that to stand them up so they're not diving out over the plate so he can get some weak contact on the changeup and then the slow get me over breaking ball in the backdoor cutter. But the changeup was better tonight. It was down most of the time. His little breaking ball that he could steal a strike with seemed to keep him off balance. Like I said, he would throw enough cutters. Ryu's being Ryu. It's one of those guys like Dallas Keuchel that you're driving home after the game going, how in the world did I just go 0 for 4 off that guy? You know, he couldn't break an egg with his fastball, but he seems to just be getting everybody out and just figuring out some way because he doesn't have one of his pitches. Well, he's got three other ones that he can command and somewhat change speeds and get you off balance. And he did his job. He's not the reason why they lost that game, and this is what they're going to need. They're going to need to for somebody. You know, George Springer is going to have to show up sooner than later and start helping this team score some runs because on the road, you know, you can't score two runs on the road against the first-place team and think you're going to win most of those games.
Yeah, definitely some tough pitching matchups this series for the Blue Jays against the Chicago White Sox. Got to talk about Lourdes Gurriel Jr., his defense in the outfield there, getting twisted on that hit from Yermín Mercedes that should have been a very catchable ball for a Major League Baseball outfielder. We know that, you know, he's not a natural outfielder. We know at the end of games, the Blue Jays take him out as the defensive replacement. Teoscar goes over there. He's only played 168 games at the major league level in the outfield, Kevin. But, you know, what can they do to remedy this? I imagine, you know, Mark Pudzinski's been working with them. They've been trying to figure it out. Yeah. It's not the easiest thing to always pick up the spin, but it feels like we've seen it a few too many times so far this year.
Yeah, well, you got to figure when George Springer comes back, if it's me, I'm moving Teoscar Hernandez to left field. I'm putting either George Springer or Randall Grichuk in right field, depending on who you think can play better and keep the George Springer in the lineup, right? It's about that. Does George want to play center or does he want to play right? So it's either Randall in center, George in right, or vice versa, that kind of thing. But I'm putting Teoscar in left field. Teoscar seems to be a little bit more comfortable over there. He can run better routes. He's faster. He can help the center fielder cover more ground that way. Now, he may not have as accurate, as strong as arm as Lourdes Gurriel Jr., but it's about winning games. Right, and that's what's going to be the interesting thing. Do you DH him a little bit more? Do you not play him as much? You know, it's one of those things. If you're playing well, I think it gets down to it's the big leagues. You're going to be playing. If you're not, and they have a better option, then that's what you do. It's you know, sort of that Randall Grichuk thing of you got to look yourself in the mirror and go, hey, I got to put up or shut up, or I'm going to be sitting over there with the manager most of the time. And I think that's sort of where Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is with the defensive side of it and the offensive side of it. He is a player, right? He's not one of those guys that stands out to you and says you have to be in the lineup. Nope. If he's playing well, he's driving and runs, he's getting big hits, he's going to play for you. If he's not, then you put somebody else over there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out when George Springer returns. Kevin, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for doing it.
Of course. Have a good night, everybody.
There is Kevin Barker joining us here on Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Blue Jays falling to the White Sox 5-2 this evening as the White Sox win the rubber match. The Blue Jays now headed off to Boston, where they will arrive in Fenway. In Boston for their game tomorrow at Fenway Park. It'll be Ross Stripling getting the start in the opener, going up against Garrett Richards. But a quick thought, Josh, on Lourdes Gurriel Jr. The defense has been questionable at times. We know how ridiculous the arm is. You can make the case that he has the best outfield arm for a left fielder in all of Major League Baseball, but when it comes to physically catching the ball, running proper routes to try to get those baseballs, he might be near the bottom of baseball if we're being kind about it.
Yeah, it was awful tonight. Joe was breaking it down post game, and I think it was he covered 46 feet of distance and needed to cover 54 feet, I think is what the graphic said. And that's not particularly close. And I don't know if he just got a bad read off of it or got not a bad read and then just took a bad route or both. Either way, it can't happen. But the reason I continue to be patient with Lourdes in left field is because, well, the alternative, I remember Teoscar Hernandez in left field. It was not very good. Maybe it will be better this time around, but it seemed like right was more of his comfort zone. And I'd rather just continue working with Lourdes in those situations to keep the arm in the outfield. It's a weapon. It saves runs. It has a bunch of times already this year. Yeah, he's cost you runs. He cost you at least one tonight with that horrible route to the baseball. But the arm is a valuable weapon that I want to find a way to keep in there. If he's not hitting, it's moot. But if he's hitting and he's in the lineup, preferably for me, it's left field and then Springer's in center and then Grichuk's in right.
Yeah, it is interesting that the Blue Jays have taken him out as the defensive replacement, you know, late in ball games, of course. And they put Teoscar there. They put Randall Grichuk in right. And then Jonathan Davis comes into center field. So, you know, despite that arm being a weapon, they don't always feel too comfortable about having him out there when they have a lead late in the game. But when George Springer comes back, it's going to be interesting, of course, to see, you know, how the rotation goes and how often Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is going to be out there. We know George Springer is going to need some time off. They're not going to just play him every single day, you know, coming off that quad injury, of course, when he makes his return to the lineup. So going to be some, you know, tough choices for Charlie Montoyo, but it's definitely a good problem to have when George Springer makes his return to the Blue Jays lineup. When we continue, we'll read your text. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the game tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about Hyunjin Ryu's start. We'll, of course, talk about the bullpen and how the Blue Jays need some reinforcements yesterday. It's starting to get a little bit hairy there and starting to get a little tough to watch some of the performances of late for a team that has aspirations of doing some pretty big things. So we'll talk about all of that and your text coming up. It is Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball powered by Jack Links here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We're more invested in this season than Bitcoin, because we do not understand Bitcoin. Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays falling to the White Sox 5-2 the final as Chicago wins the rubber match and takes 2 of 3 from the Blue Jays. 590-590 is where you can reach us on the text line. Give us your name and your location. We'll read those coming up in just a few moments. You can also get us on Twitter at WongSN590 and at JGoldberg12. Lots to talk about with regards to Hyunjin Ryu and, of course, the bullpen, which is a repeated storyline. This is not the first Jays talk. We've spoken about the bullpen and the need for arms. So let's spend some time talking about the pitching, Josh, and we'll begin with Hyunjin Ryu, who we talked a lot about in the pregame. Nick Ashburn of Sportsnet.ca had a piece up today about Hyunjin Ryu and maybe why things are sort of trending in the wrong direction, and perfect timing that he would end up giving up 3 runs there in the bottom of the first. Definitely wasn't helped out on that misplay by Lourdes Gurriel Jr. that essentially would have ended that inning and not allowed Yasmani Grandal to hit the 2-run homer to give the White Sox the 3-0 lead. But settled down after that through 5 scoreless. The fastball was hitting 90 miles an hour. You know, it was tough sledding for him early on, but he, you know, figured it out. And I think, at least for me, you know, sort of relieved some of my fears that I may have had after reading Nick's piece and watching what was going down in the first few innings, where it really seemed like he struggled to have much control of his pitches.
Yeah, and I honestly, even after he finished his start, I was thinking back over those final 5 innings. By the end, I thought he had settled in very nicely, but there were still, you know, we've had a handful of 3-ball counts. Seemed like he was, again, missing his spots ever so slightly, and he couldn't get that cutter fastball in on right-handed batters. And when he's struggling to do that, that's usually when you know that he's going to have a little bit of difficulty. But to still be able to hold a really solid right-handed hitting lineup like the White Sox down 4 or 5 innings to give your bats a chance to get back into the ballgame. And they did. They made it 3-2. And then, you know, we're obviously going to get to the bullpen that wasn't able to really keep things all that close. But I was definitely encouraged by that. And I said before the game that I was about a 5.5 on the worry scale. I think I'm down to like a 4, maybe even a 3.5 after tonight. The fastball velocity probably still would like it to be, I think it averaged out about 88.9. That's fine. I would like to see it closer to 90, but I'm not going to, you know, really be that particular picky about it. He can handle major league lineups with an 89 mile an hour fastball. It's just a matter of really pinpointing to both sides of the plate. And I'm confident that he'll be able to do that going forward.
Yeah, I think so as well. It was good to see him get some swings and misses on the changeup as well, which has been a bit of a problem this season, where just hitters haven't been really swinging at it. Maybe it was different tonight because there was a lot of hitters that hadn't seen him for a while. I mean, Yermín Mercedes swung wildly over one changeup, I can remember. I think it was the same at bat where he, you know, muscled that ball to left field on a changeup down in the zone as well. But I think that was, you know, a positive sign that he was getting a little bit more swing and miss on some of his pitches that haven't been the case so far this season. So the bullpen, we see tonight Anthony Castro coming in, gives up a home run to Adam Engel, of all people, his first hit of the entire season, goes over the wall in left field. And then Joel Piams comes in and gives up a double to Jose Abreu that drives in a run, a hanging slider just down the heart of the plate at the bottom of the zone. These are two guys that obviously have done great work, you know, considering how they were acquired in the offseason as, you know, waiver claims and, you know, Joel Piev specifically coming back and forth between the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. These guys are found money and they have been great. But, you know, it's a situation where I think both of these guys, if you're overexposing them too often, then it's probably not going to be a great situation. We understand the injuries are the big factor right now with this Blue Jays team. They used a bunch of their top guys yesterday as well. But once again, it just shows the need, Josh, that relief pitching needs to be acquired very soon for this Blue Jays team in order to make sure that things really don't start slipping away, because they've got some tough matchups here coming up against the Yankees and the Red Sox over the next little bit before they have to face off against the Orioles. We're expecting George Springer to make a return soon, of course, and you know Kevin Biggio could be back as soon as tomorrow, and maybe they can hit themselves out of this, but it's just pretty evident that right now, you touched on it, they need at least two, maybe even three arms, one way or another. There's a lot of, you know, older free agents out there as well. We've seen Carl Edwards Jr., you know, make his Blue Jays debut the last little bit here. I don't know if they want to go down that route and find some guys in the scrap heap there. But once again, if there's one thing that this front office does very well, we've seen it before, they can find arms, specifically relief arms.
Yeah, I would expect calls to be made tonight, tomorrow. Get a deal done as soon as humanly possible, because we've been talking about this. Okay, so you bring Patrick Murphy up. Maybe he pops, maybe he doesn't. It's hard to really expect that much. He has zero big league experience. Is he really going to blossom into a high leverage option this season ever? Who knows, but not... It's a tall task to expect him to come right up and shove in big spots. So you get guys back. Julian Merriweather, I whenever he comes back, I'm not going to hold my breath that he can stay healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy his entire career. Baruchy is starting to creep into that territory where he can't stay healthy as well. That will help, but that's not enough. You need to have as many quality options as you can. Show and I talked about this last night. You don't have a ready-made David Phelps replacement. I even if people thought David Phelps could might have regressed, he filled up the zone to righties and lefties. He got swings and misses. He was very effective in a multitude of different spots of high leverage, medium leverage, whatever, you name it, Phelps was delivering. And you don't have anyone to replace him, and you're not going to find anyone in this organization to replace him. So that's a trade target. And there are enough teams that have expiring contract relievers. Expiring contract relievers, I would think, are probably among the easiest players to trade for in Major League Baseball. You just have to say to yourself, okay, this is an area of need for our ball club. Yeah, we got a deep farm system. You're not trading any of your finest meats and cheeses, obviously. That's not going to happen. But middling prospects, third, fourth tier, whatever it is, you can make those deals in the blink of an eye. And if this ball club and this front office views its club as a contender or somebody that they think can contend, you have to identify this as a weakness and think, okay, let's be proactive here and bring in some reinforcements to steady the ship.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great if they could go out and get, you know, a star type of reliever. But I don't even think it even needs to be that. I think, you know, the one example a lot of people I see have been continuing to use is Mark Lowe a couple of years ago when the Blue Jays got him back in 2015. And he wasn't a world beater by any means, and they didn't have to give up a ton. And they ended up getting, you know, pretty decent return out of Mark Lowe as a Toronto Blue Jay. So that's sort of the guy that I look at, where you're not exactly, you know, paying, like you said, the finest meats and cheeses for some of these guys, but you can get some pretty effective relievers. You know, on the free agent market, we see this report from Ken Rosenthal that Brad Peacock, the former Houston Astro, who is working his way back from right shoulder surgery in October, is set to throw for teams in Florida this week. You would have to imagine the Blue Jays are going to be there. Brad Peacock has been a guy that's been pretty effective at the major league level. It is worrisome, of course, that it's a shoulder injury, but I think you'll obviously get a better gauge of where he's at when they watch this showcase. So lots of different avenues that the Blue Jays can go to try to find some help here, but it's just a screaming need. It's sticking out like a sore thumb. And I get it. It's still early in the season and teams aren't exactly wheeling and dealing. It's still only early June here. But with the Blue Jays in need of some help, it's pretty obvious that this is a spot that they need to make a deal sooner rather than later. Let's read a couple of texts. We'll hear from Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo coming up as well. But Peter in Toronto puts it simply, Josh, got to address this bullpen ASAP. The season could slip away, I fear, if not. Jesse from Aylmer here, making a claim about Liam Hendricks and some sticky stuff.
Sure.
I mean, everybody's got it. Like, I don't think we're really, you know, speaking out of school at this point, Jesse. I think it's pretty evident that a lot of the top pitchers in the game are, you know, using something to get a grip on the ball, and that's just the way it is. Like, I don't really have much else to add to that. It's very obvious, and Major League Baseball, of course, continues to do their investigating with how they want to go about that. Finally, Liz in Toronto. Jays have three elite outfielders, Grichik, Springer if healthy, and Davis, having Teoscar and Gurriel in outfielders patchwork only. While Davis is low average currently, that is likely due to limited playing time. What do you think about that? Is Jonathan Davis someone that you would like to see get a little bit more opportunity?
Jonathan Davis seems like a beauty, and by all accounts is a great dude to have in the clubhouse, but no, this is not a Gio Urshela situation. Jonathan Davis can't hit, I don't think. His hit tool is not good enough to be a major league outfielder. He can be a defensive replacement and speed, but if you have four players who can play the outfield, you're just going to keep Jonathan Davis on the roster to pinch run and be a defensive replacement. I don't see the need. I'd rather keep Espinal because he can play a couple of positions. And we saw tonight, reach base three times, has a little bit of pop the other way. Panic's been better of late. Even Rowdy, I think, because the lefty power bat. Jonathan Davis, I don't think, if given more playing time, would he hit above the Mendoza line? I'm dubious.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's really a situation that the Blue Jays want. You know, Teoscar, Lourdes, I get Lourdes is struggling, but he's been hitting a lot better and has shown at the major league level he can be an everyday player. It is Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays falling to the White Sox 5-2. We'll hear from manager Charlie Montoyo coming up next. It's Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This year's team has us feeling super competitive, crazy competitive, way more competitive than you. Sorry, told ya. Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. White Sox beating the Blue Jays 5-2 this evening at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago. Let's hear from the Blue Jays manager. Here is skipper Charlie Montoyo.
Hey, Charlie, after that first inning there, did you see Ryu getting back to more of his normal after those last couple of starts?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does. Like, I wasn't concerned, you know. He could have been even better, you know. But, yeah, he does what he does. He made an adjustment and kept us in the game. Started throwing strikes. You know, he hasn't been as sharp locating all his pitches, but good enough, you know, good enough again today to keep us in the game there until the end.
And then we talked about it before the game, but now that you've seen Riley Adams work with him, what was your impression of how he handled working with Ryu tonight?
Great job. They both did a good job, yeah. He looks really comfortable with Ryu, and Ryu looked comfortable with Riley.
All right, appreciate it, Charlie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Charlie. Keuchel obviously is one of those guys who can be really tough to face too when he's locating. What did you make the offense tonight from your team?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give him credit. And this guy knows how to pitch and you know, and he was locating and he did a good job, you know. But we also deserve credit, our hitters. Like the third time around or something, we made an adjustment and you know, and we got him a little bit. So, you know, credit to him at the beginning. And then our hitters deserve credit, you know, the last, third time around, I think it was, that when we scored those runs.
Right.
That and we had better at-bats, yeah.
And defensively speaking, I know you guys need Gurriel. I know he's made some really good throws for you guys. With that play in the first inning, went over his head. What do you make of that play and kind of some of the routes that he takes in general?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be the first one to tell you that he should have made that play. And that's what I mean by Ryu. Like, he could have easily, if Guri makes that play, you know, it would have been a different game. You know, but I see this guy working every day hard with Mark Bosinski. I know he's going to get better. But if we're talking about this game, yeah, that probably cost us some runs. And I don't know, Goody would be the first one to tell you that, you know, he should have made it.
There is Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo with his thoughts on the game tonight and specifically Lourdes Gurriel Jr. with the outfield play there. It doesn't get any easier, Josh. Blue Jays heading off to Fenway Park to begin a four-game series. Always an adventure playing the Green Monster. Oh, yeah. He's obviously done it before, but not an easy situation there. It's four games against the Red Sox, who are playing well. They come back to beat the Astros tonight as well. The offense is clicking. The pitching still, meh, little suspect, but the bats are doing their part. What are you expecting over the next 4 days here?
A lot of runs, a lot of wackiness, probably a lot of expletives to myself as I'm watching the games. Should be fun. I'm excited.
Yep, absolutely. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links and Hunger, down to the minors and Feed Your Wild Side. Ross Stripling squares off against Garrett Richards tomorrow night. We'll have it here on the Sportsnet Radio Network just after 7 p.m. Eastern for the first pitch. For Sam McKee, Tom Young, Josh Goldberg, I'm Rob Wong. Thanks for tuning in. Blue Jays fall to the White Sox 5-2.